through the Alaska Airlines studios.
This is Tom, Jake, and Stacy on 710 ESPN Seattle. Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Ross.
My take on this topic may be terrible and weak.
Don't tell people that.
No, it may be weak and terrible. Believe me, I'm not going to be lacking for passion. I'm not just going to come on the air and say, okay, here's my take on the Seahawks.
So you're saying I'm proud of having a weak take here.
Well, I don't care. Proud doesn't factor into it. Here's the bottom line. I don't think this game's all that important.
What?
I don't think this game's all that important.
You don't think this game is important?
No, all that important. Every game,
all
every
that
game,
important.
There's a nominal like importance to every game on the NFL
right.
schedule, okay?
But this is bottom third.
Compared, first of all, I'm a little sick of playing these AFC teams, these AFC North teams.
Really? Because they've given you quite a few wins.
Yeah, they have, but none of these games matter. I'm tired of coming in here every week and internally debating how much these games matter because they don't. I keep trying to figure out how good are the Seahawks compared to every other NFC team with whom they're competing for a playoff spot. Right?
Eventually they matter.
And I don't know right now. I'm sick of the AFC, and if the Ravens beat the Seahawks, they're 5-2. The 49ers have still played one less game. There's a loss coming in there somewhere. They're not going 16-0. They're not going 15-1 or 14-2 even. There's going to be a few losses in there. The Seahawks will be right where they need to be by the time week 13, 14, 15, 16 rolls around. They will still be in position, even if they lose this game, to win the NFC West.
Now, Tom.
Hit me.
Now, Tom.
Hit me.
If they lose this game, one, you're right. It isn't the end of the world. However, with the way the 49ers are playing, the likely outcome is that they are going to be undefeated by the time they match up with the Seahawks a few weeks down the road.
Yeah, mid-season.
Now.
Maybe. By the way, maybe. I know they got the Panthers, they're at the Cardinals, and then it's the Seahawks, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the Panthers are not a terrible team. Mm-hmm. And don't be surprised, in division, when you go on the road, weird things happen.
Oh, come on.
Thank you, Tom. Thank
Come
you, because
on.
I
Kyle
said...
Kyle Allen is
no,
going to beat this,
no,
the 49ers defense?
No, the Panthers defense could beat the 49ers offense.
Hold on a second. The Panthers could win that game, period, whether it's home or on the road. I'm talking about the Cardinal game when San Francisco goes on the road...
Yes, I know.
...to play Arizona. You don't think that Kyler Murray could have a good game?
He could have a good game, but I don't think he's going to against this defense. This defense is for real.
Oh,
this
dude,
is
they
a very
for
good
real,
defense.
But what does that mean? They're going to go undefeated?
It doesn't mean they're going to go undefeated, but in terms of where their schedule lies right now, Carolina, I don't think Kyle Allen can keep things going at the rate that he is. Christian McCaffrey's already been banged up at certain points. He's a great player. I'm not dismissing and saying that's an automatic win. The likely outcome is that they will be undefeated
at
this
point in time.
Well,
that's nice, but I mean, why else do they play the games?
With that in mind, the Baltimore Ravens are a good football team. They are a good football team. So when you talk about where are the Seahawks, this game matters for the Seattle Seahawks to prove that they are a legitimate football team and not just a paper tiger in this one. It also is an opportunity when you talk about playoffs, you want to get a first round bye. And unfortunately for the Seahawks right now, their toughest competition comes within the division with the 49ers at this point. The Rams could come back and they can revive themselves and all that. But as you look at it right now, it's the Seahawks, it's the 49ers. As a Seahawk fan, you have to keep pace with the 49ers in terms of wins up to the point when you face them. And you shake your head, Tom, but if you don't win, if you don't keep pace, you don't give yourself an opportunity down the stretch to keep up with the Niners and be able to win the division. And you need to win the division to give yourself the best chance to make it to the Super Bowl and be successful in the playoffs. That's why this game matters.
Exactly. It is more important to get wins over NFC teams. It's more important to be ahead of the rest of the NFC. And even though a win over an AFC team might matter less in the long run, you still want the better record. I mean, right now, the San Francisco 49ers look great. And I do think they're great. They're a great defense. And it's going to be hard to stop them. But a win's a win. Mm. It still helps you. And you have a tough slate of primetime games coming up. And Pete Carroll teams have been great in primetimes. They've been the best in the league in primetime. But you get this reservoir of wins going, and that helps you in the long run.
A reservoir?
A reservoir of wins. Yeah. Yes.
Guys, I'm not saying that. Actually, I disagree with you, Stacey. A win is not a win.
It is. I said so.
Okay. all right, then we'll just continue on here. Look, some wins, a division win, especially against the team you're chasing, is going to be more important, right?
Yeah.
Okay. A win against the opposite conference doesn't help you as much as that win in division.
So it
clearly
does.
There are differences of importance in or between wins.
If you're talking about down the stretch and if they're tied and who has the tiebreaker in a record, but you have to keep pace with that win-loss
record.
Jake,
I understand that, but there are teams every single year, okay? There's a 6-2 team or a 5-3 team that ends up collapsing down the stretch that we thought was going to just romp to the Super Bowl. Look, unless you think that the 49ers are an all-time great team that's going to be compared with the likes of the 70s Steelers or the 80s 49ers or the 90s Cowboys, they're going to hit a skid eventually. How do you know that at some point their offense just isn't, they won't be able to score any points? Their defense may keep on playing well, but their offense just sputters. That happens.
It does, but not with the team that has shown that they are playing this well. They are clicking right now.
Dude, you are Jimmy so Garoppolo, afraid of this team.
Jimmy, I'm not afraid.
Yes, you are.
I'm
You're
realistic.
Terrified.
I'm realistic of this team. I'm not afraid of Jimmy Garoppolo, but they are the second best team in running the football, and that has not slowed down.
Right now?
They have the top two defense in the NFL right now. Yes, you're right, right now. And the front half, the first half of this schedule, sets up for the 49ers to do just that. Now, in your conversation of them potentially hitting bumps along the road, once they face the Seahawks, they face the Seahawks, they face the Packers, Ravens, Saints, Rams, and then Seahawks again. So now
they're
going to
lose at least two or three of those games.
So, okay, they're two or three games. Now, because of the way that they've played, you just talked about two or three games. What does that put their record at? 13-3? 12-4?
Like, I just told you.
I thought
that they were going to lose another game, maybe to the Panthers or the Cardinals. And I think the Seahawks could clock in at 11-5.
But that puts them behind the 49ers in the division. So that's why when their start has been strong, very strong. So unfortunately,
They've lost one game.
Right, so you have to keep up with them.
Yes, you do have to keep up with them, but not necessarily with this game. I think that there's a lot of other winnable games down the line. If we look at the Seahawks schedule and the 49ers schedule, it looks similar. I mean, you've got the division games against each other, games against the Cardinals and the Rams. And we've already been outside the division once with the Saints. That's probably the toughest game out of division, right?
The Saints game?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. And you almost won that one.
Yeah. I think it depends on how dangerous you see the San Francisco 49ers and the Rams, who aren't out of it yet, being. If you think that, like you, that the San Francisco 49ers aren't as dangerous as this early hype and that they are inevitably going to lose a handful of games, then no, this game isn't that important. If you see this race as being the Seahawks need every single win because the 49ers could go all the way and have maybe two, three, like what if they're a 13-3 team, then you've got the Rams on your heels. I think the people that see those teams as being more dangerous are seeing this as a must-win game. So it's not how they see the Ravens, it's how they see the Rams.
Well, hold on a second. Do you guys think that they need to have a bye to make the Super Bowl?
I
think that statistically teams that have a bye are more likely to make a Super Bowl. Granted, that's also because teams that have a bye are higher seeds, so they have better records. But yeah, I think it certainly helps.
It definitely helps. The percentages are there with you. It's not impossible.
Well, that's kind of a weak take on your guys' part, though. Statistically. I
mean. No, it's
not a weak take. It's just
true. Yes, it is.
The percentages show it is highly in your favor. That's why it is so important to get home field advantage in the playoffs.
Not everyone can be the wild card Giants.
Home field advantage in the playoffs is a significant advantage in the NFL. And you do have a Cinderella story come around every now and then, but it is vital if you want to give yourself the best chance. So I look at this situation, and one, as a team for the Seahawks, to continue to see them gain momentum, gain confidence, show that they compete with the best teams in the NFL, which I do believe the Baltimore Ravens are one of those teams. They have great talent. They present a unique offense. They have great talent on defense that get after the quarterback. This would be a very good win for this group at home, and not only that, but also when you look into the future and where this division and where the 49ers currently lie.
This hour, Tom, Jake, and Stacey is brought to you by Car Toys. You know, it just occurred to me, my weak take was actually a hot take.
Disguised
as a weak take.
Yeah, based on the text line alone, I think it was a hotter take than you're giving it credit for.
What happened on the text line?
Lots of people fired up.
About what?
They're just going back and forth.
Yeah, they're going back and forth. Some people agree with you and say, like, well, that's fine. And other people are saying, if you're a playoff team, you can't lose at home. Someone else saying the 49ers are legit. Every win matters.
Yeah, they're legit.
Of course, it's an important game.
They're legit, but that doesn't mean that they're this unbeatable juggernaut.
I don't think they're unbeatable. It just comes down to win-loss record at the end of the season, and they put themselves in a really good spot to not have as much pressure to win at the end, that if that makes sense. That for the Seahawks, as of right now, it can completely flip on its head here in a couple weeks.
If the 49ers lose next week, okay, and the Seahawks lose this week, they're going to still be a half game behind them, will they not?
The Seahawks?
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I'm not sure. I'd have to look at that, but I'm not entirely sure.
Let me restate.
Actually, let me restate.
If the 49ers win this weekend, mm-hmm. Seahawks lose, and the Seahawks win next weekend, San Francisco loses, then they'll be right back to where they started. They'll be right back to where they are now.
Because it's within the divisional loss.
Because they'll each have gone 1-1. Yeah, that would even it out.
I'll have to look at that within the division and all that, but I do think that the Seahawks right now, they are in a better spot in division. If you just look at the divisional wins, yes.
Three questions.
It's time for Three Questions.
Can't wait for it.
Every day at 12 after 12, Tom Wassel's burning questions for Jake Heaps and Stacey Rost.
Enough with the we gotta protect the kids nonsense.
I'm sitting up very straight. I'm ready for...
All right, I've already heard 10 minutes of your guys' 49er worship. So, are the Seahawks one of the top two teams in the NFC right now?
No.
What?
Sorry.
What?
I think, potentially. The offense is up there. I think the defense has stars and hasn't all been on the same page and come together yet. Right? Jadeveon Clowney? Top pass rusher. Not the top, but he's a top-tier pass rusher. Bobby Wagner, top linebacker right now. Like, you've got players and playmakers, but for some reason it just hasn't played out.
Who do you think is the other team that's the second best?
I think 49ers right now are
49ers
up there.
49ers and who?
The Saints with Drew Brees back, but even with Teddy Bridgewater gone, they're good.
Okay, that's fair.
I might have felt that way about the Packers. I don't anymore.
I look at it and say, I'm right there with Stacey. You look at it right now and you say the New Orleans Saints and the 49ers are the two best teams in the NFC. Just as it sits right now, the 49ers, up to this point, they don't play a flashy brand of offense, but they are able to get it done and they have won convincingly up to this point. That doesn't mean I don't believe Seattle can beat the 49ers. I still believe in this team. I think that they're a great football team, and ultimately they play their best football down the stretch. They will continue to get better and better and better.
Number two.
Last night in the Astros-Yankees game, game four, CeCe Sabathia, who's been pitching since the last time the Mariners were actually in the playoffs.
Wild.
To be honest, CeCe Sabathia actually pitched against the Mariners in the 2000 ALDS when he was with Cleveland. That was his rookie year. He pitched in what is probably going to be his final Major League Baseball appearance last night, and he hurt his shoulder mm-hmm. doing it. Mm-hmm. And as he was walking off and the crowd was giving him a big round of applause, the cameras caught a lot of the Houston Astros players standing up and applauding him. I saw Springer doing it. I think Correa, Garrett Cole in the dugout. What do you guys think of a move like that by the opposing team? Classy?
Absolutely.
Real classy.
Absolutely.
Thought it was real classy.
Is that something I've really ever seen before?
It's something that you wish... That's something that you wish you would see in sports in general. But it also goes to show the career that CeCe Sabathia has had and the things that he has overcome personally to then continue to keep on sustained success. it's something that you wish you would have seen from Felix Hernandez, mm-hmm. you know, to be honest, is to be able to revitalize your career and change and be able to continue to have sustained success late into your you know, 30s. And so, yeah, heck of a career for CeCe Sabathia.
Yeah, it depends on the player. Like, if you're like a legacy player that's been around that players have watched growing up, like, there's no equivalent of like leaving the mound in football. But if there was, a guy like Larry Fitzgerald would get, you know, applause from the opposing players.
Well, actually, I remember when Steve Smith Sr. got hurt, like, was it his second to last year or his last year? I forget.
I think it was second to last.
When he broke his leg on that day, mm-hmm. we all thought that was it.
Yeah.
And I think a similar thing kind of happened there. Question for you, Curtis, though, if you remember, when Felix pitched in his last game here a couple months ago or last month, did the other team, I think it was the A's, did the other team applaud him on the way off?
I think so. I think they kind of stood at the top of their rail
and
just clapped. And they didn't go anything too over the top, but they definitely paid their respects.
Okay. I think that's a cool thing when the other team does that.
Yeah, I think there were players on Twitter, too.
Probably.
Number three.
All right, for those of you who watched the Thursday night game last night, you saw Patrick Mahomes go down. You saw Patrick Mahomes' kneecap get snapped back into place. Then you saw him actually walk off the field and sort of semi-jog back into the locker room. I'm not really sure how any of that happened. But now a lot of people are speculating that Andy Reid may or should trade for Mariota. He said he's not going to do that. But if Russell went down right now, okay, this is week 7?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Would they trade for a legitimate starter, or would they go with Geno?
One, I don't like this conversation at all, but if it was in that situation, Geno would be their guy. I mean, Geno's played a lot of football. There's a reason why they're keeping him on the roster right now, and unless something happened where Geno wasn't playing good and he was playing horrifically bad and it altered the way that they could play the game, they would definitely look outside for some help. But that's why you have Geno here. He's mobile. He can throw the ball deep down the field. And so I think they feel confident in Geno Smith. It's incredible, by the way, to see Matt Moore out there, a guy who, by all accounts, he was going to retire. He was going to be an analyst. I saw him over the summer at a celebrity golf tournament that he was, you know, looking for work just outside football, having those conversations.
I gotta look it up. Yeah.
But it's just incredible to see a guy who knows a ton of football, has had that background, can step in and throw a touchdown in primetime game.
By the way, terrible. He's 35 years old.
35. 84. 80s babies.
If I'm born in 79, am I technically an 80s baby?
No, because I'm born in 89 and I'm not a 90s baby. I'm not allowed to be a 90s baby.
Yeah, you're
these
not,
two.
You're
not
pretty cool. Darn close, though.
I know. I'm 6 months away from being
in
the 90s.
Get back to
your decades. Yeah, not allowed, according to Curtis and Jake. I'm not allowed to be a 90s baby.
I'm an 80s child, though.
I'm a 90s child.
Okay. All right, I'm actually good with that.
Okay, me too.
Jake, I like
I feel younger already.
You do? I like your jacket today, by the way. I know nobody can see it, but Jake looks really good.
Man. Appreciate that.
I took some fashionista photos.
Yeah, what were you doing? Stacey was climbing up all over desks.
No, I wasn't. I was sitting and working, and Maura took a candid photo of me.
You were like a spider up on the wall. It was really strange. I had to run out of
the room. I was modeling.
Geno Smith, you think?
Yeah, I do. I think that they've got enough confidence in him.
I think if they didn't, they would have done something before the season started.
They would have, but also for the Seahawks, they have been so fortunate with how Russell has been able to stay healthy and his ability to get himself into every single game, even when he's hurt. And I think that's a part where...
Yeah, but if his kneecap came undone, he'd need to probably sit out the rest of the game.
I don't know, man. I've seen this guy pull off some ridiculous stuff.
Russell Wilson?
That he should not have been playing at times.
What was the season when he had the high ankle and the knee?
It was like 2016.
MCL.
2016.
Yeah, that
he
was...
should not have been playing.
He should not.
Hey, I haven't, since I've been doing the show with you,
yes.
I haven't, with Jake here, because Jake is in the Russell Wilson camp.
Oh, right.
Tom's been meaning to make me a shirt, by the way.
That's
Tom,
true.
Tom, what kind of shirt?
Actually, it's just going to say guru on it.
Okay.
There we go.
That was my first idea, but I have not yet probed you as a member of the Russell Wilson camp. I just want to know one thing.
Sure.
Did the nano bubbles work?
Phenomenally.
Tell the truth.
It's part of the reason why.
If you pour the nano bubbles on the kneecap, will it magically heal? You ever seen Indiana Jones in The Last Crusade?
Yes.
Like when they take
the healing water?
They take the Holy Grail and they dump the holy water all over Sean Connery's belly, and the bullet wound just goes away.
Mm-hmm.
Is that how the nanobubbles work?
Yeah, recovery water. Yeah, go get yourself some.
If they work that well, man.
Yeah.
Cure all my ulcers.
Be all for it.
Cure all my ulcers.
All my ulcers.
Why
my
aren't
stomach.
You getting me a shirt? I'm going to get us shirts, Tom, that say 80s babies.
We should just get shirts that say Tom.
Let's all get matching
Jake,
jerseys.
Stacey. You know, it's too bad because we're having photos taken, new photos for the website.
Yeah, let's
Monday.
Wear those for them.
Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Yeah, they'll be like, that's not what we told you to do. And we're going to be like, well, too bad.
Yeah,
have
too
you
bad.
Guys have you guys gotten like your new iPhone updates? And they
yes.
have
yeah.
the they have the op- you have the chance to make your own emoji.
What do you mean? Like for your face?
Yeah, like your face
for
emoji.
For your face?
Yes, for your face. They have the emojis, and you can customize your own face into these new emojis. Have you ever? You haven't done that. Huh?
I haven't
I'll
done
show
it.
You.
Have you done that, Stacey?
But
it
what's the purpose?
Weird.
What's
beyond
the purpose?
Weird?
So when you're texting somebody, what you include your own face because why?
Just to let them know.
No idea.
Let them know.
But your name is already at the. Never mind. Whenever there's new technology that I feel like is useless,
you
I,
get mad.
There's no, I don't get mad, but like. It gets incorporated into our daily routine somehow, so why bother questioning it? It's all coming at you. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
All right, Mike Sox next. Tom, Jake, and Stacey, 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacey.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Now here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacey Rost.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, Tommy.
How's it going?
Yeah, you're bumming me out.
Why? What'd I do?
I was listening to you yesterday, and I get that you were rooting for the Yankees to sort of even up the series
yeah.
last night. I get that. You wanted a good series. Mm-hmm. I personally am not capable of that because I hate the Yankees.
Sounds like a you problem.
No, it's a normal human reaction.
I thought you guys
Yankees.
Were on the same page for this.
And I heard you say you're actually rooting for them in the series, and I didn't know what to make of that because I don't know. Like, I've never thought of you as somebody who would, like, play the don't come line and on playing craps or root for the house in blackjack and, like, hope everybody at the table. Like, that's not like you.
I can give you one simple, boring reason.
There's one guy you like on that team?
No.
You don't like the Astros?
No.
You want to be the contrarian?
No.
Nope. What is it?
My dad.
Well, that's a good reason.
Dad's a Yankee fan.
I know, but that's never that you've never rooted for them before.
Well,
this is new.
Hold on a second.
All right.
I've never rooted for them when they've been playing against the Red Sox.
Oh, but you rooted for them other times.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Sometimes when I've bothered to care. Like when they won the World Series against Philadelphia, I don't think I watched any of that. But this time around, since I'm actually kind of watching it, you know, I get on the phone with my dad. We talk about the game.
That's a good reason.
I'm rooting for the Yankees.
All right, you convinced me.
That's fair.
What do you
That's
think about
a good
that,
reason.
Stacey?
Yeah.
I'll allow it.
Playing
you should go against your yeah. father.
Sentimental
any kind of like sentimental part. Reason, I'll allow.
Yeah. By the way, it's fun yeah. to argue with your dad about sports. That's part of the fun.
Exactly.
I like rooting against the teams my dad likes sometimes just so I can argue with him about
right.
it.
Right. I mean, look, that's the thing. My whole life, I've rooted in baseball. I've
yeah.
rooted against the team that he likes.
Right.
So, you know, as we both mature,
yes.
it's nice to kind of come together a little bit. On
I got to tell you, generally watching sports with my dad is awful when you're rooting for the same team because he's one of these people that's so mad at the team when they're doing what they're doing that he's throwing stuff and getting more and more negative and you're finally like, I got to leave.
Yeah.
Like you watch this game and he's just like, well, see, they stink. Can't run the ball. Can't. And you're just like, all right. It's like Brock. Honestly, he's very much like Brock.
Does it make you embarrassed
yes.
to root for the team that obnoxious person is rooting for?
A little bit until yeah. I sort of like start rooting for the other team just on principle.
Yeah.
It's how I became a Laker fan as a kid in Boston.
Oh, because your dad was a Celtic fan?
My parents were. I was like, I can't do this. I'm out. Plus Magic Johnson. Come on.
That was a fun team to watch, though.
No
that probably wasn't too hard for a little kid.
All right. So are we ready for this weekend? Are we ready for Earl Thomas and the Baltimore Ravens and all that? Are you ready?
I already said I don't think this game matters that much.
Doesn't yeah. matter that much. AFC team, like, whatever.
What?
Yeah.
And the kick is good.
They can't all matter the
no,
same.
No, not because like, you guys think it doesn't matter.
It's not that it doesn't matter.
No, it just matters a little less. Of course it matters.
Yeah,
I mean, you
want
to win
yes.
it, but
well,
like,
no.
It doesn't
a
matter
win
as
matters
much as the
more,
Rams game.
First of all, a win matters more than a win over just any NFC opponent. A win, period. Matters like
yes,
your
of
record.
Course.
Period.
All wins
we've acknowledged that.
But this isn't as big as the Rams games, as the Niners games.
Well, no, okay, outside
of the
divisional
NFC
wins.
Games.
Well, that's the
but
thing.
Even conference wins are a next notch down. This is out of conference.
It is at a conference, but you also have another team in the 49ers that are running away with the record.
The conference
right now,
doesn't matter.
You have
conference
to keep
wins
up with them.
Don't matter until you have to use tiebreakers.
No, but
there.
They matter because you're putting down other teams that you're competing against. You're not really competing against the Ravens for anything. All that being said, it's a cool game because they have some very similar styles, right? They do have a lot in common. They both say they want to run the ball and be physical and play defense and all of that. Like if styles make fights, they sort of have a very similar style. I don't know if that's going to make a good fight or a bad one.
I was going to say, I think sometimes opposing styles make for better. I mean, we've seen both though. San Francisco and Seattle have great defenses against one another, but the opposing styles or similar styles
usually
work.
We'll see. I was listening to Danny and Gallant this morning. They were kind of thrown out there. I think Danny had the stat that these are two of the four teams that have averaged 28 points a game. He had some great stat about
they
how much
haven't had less than 20.
There you go. They've each had at least 20 in every single game, and they're two of only four teams. They're not built that way. Neither one of them.
Yeah.
It's bizarre. Both coaches are professed run the ball, play defense, physical.
Right.
And yet, I wonder if it's the explosive play counter that is notching all the points for these two teams.
It definitely could be because
when
you look at the Ravens part of it for them is they are very much a run sets up the pass in their unique running style and the way that their offense is built around Mark Ingram coming down the A-gap and then Lamar Jackson being able to take it around the edge if he doesn't hand it off to Mark Ingram. And then because you're so worried about that, you have their tight end being their number one receiver. It's just a unique, different style of offense, whereas the Seahawks, they are offensively being led by an MVP-caliber quarterback right now, and now you're seeing a ton of balance with Chris Carson. You're seeing this offense kind of be the offense that you were always hoping it would be. It's just kind of fascinating to see how it's shaped up for
these teams.
You guys
like Lamar Jackson?
Yeah. Why? Do you not?
I love him.
You like him.
He's going to be like, no, absolutely not.
No, you might not.
I mean, hate
he's not particularly accurate, which is the thing that worries me about. I don't mean just did you like him, but like, do you think he's going to be good? Is he going to be a top five or six quarterback in the NFL?
No, I don't think he'll be amongst the elite in terms of quarterback play. I guess it depends on how you define quarterback play, right? Just like in Russell Wilson, how that's been defined over time. Mm. If Lamar Jackson goes out there and wins, he puts up, you know, his touchdown to interception ratio stays good, then you have to give him credit for the way that he plays in his style of system.
Then I'll go back to the four qualities that I think are most important for a quarterback in order: decision making, accuracy, leadership, athleticism.
You know who's more accurate this year than Jared Goff? Lamar Jackson.
Really?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Just found that out.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Well, good for him. I mean, if he's figured out a way to kind of control that accuracy, because I think he's got some of the decision-making. Certainly has the athleticism. I think he's got the leadership.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
If he's got the accuracy, why couldn't he be top five quarterback in the
NFL? The thing is, you got to keep getting better, though. I think that's what sets Russell apart 8 years into his career. And that's probably what's made him kind of fly under the radar a little bit, is that he started off a certain way, and he's grown very, very steadily.
Mm-hmm.
Like Lamar Jackson's, Patrick Mahomes, even Watson to a certain extent, they come into the lead, it's like, I'm here!
I don't know. I would say with Jackson, there's been a marked improvement, though. Because last year, remember that playoff game last year? They were talking about benching him in favor of Joe Flacco because he couldn't hit the broadside of a barn against a good defense in the postseason. He had no idea. He looked awful. He was always able to run, and he was certainly exciting and the big explosive plays. But this year, the deep throws and, as Stacey's saying, adding in some of the accuracy and just the completion percentage, that's a game changer for him. That is a big step forward, and I don't know. I'm looking forward to watching him, kind of seeing what he has.
The one thing I'll be curious to see with Lamar Jackson over time is this new offense that they have this year is very hard for NFL defenses. And what will it be like next year after they have an entire offseason to study this? How to attack Lamar Jackson?
Ask Sean McVay.
And how can he come back? Yeah, exactly. How's Sean McVay doing? This always happens. There's always new trends, and then they get figured out, and then it comes back. And Lamar Jackson, can he overcome that and become more of a legitimate quarterback over time? That will be the determining factor.
We always talk about that footballization of baseball, how everybody now wants to look at baseball through football's lens. But that's kind of the opposite. I mean, for years we've talked about those adjustments for baseball players, right? Guy comes into the league and hits 330 and has a great season, and the next year, Well, they found out some of the holes in that swing, and then like you have to adjust. I think football's starting to go through that, but more in the coaching ranks than necessarily with the players.
Mm-hmm. I think that's happened to the Rams specifically.
I do too.
And that even it's happening even quicker than that.
Well, it's not just I think the Rams have a few things. They have that against them, and they have the fact that they're aging, and it's hard to keep a team together mentally after losing a Super Bowl. Like they're up against it, and we're going to find out whether Sean McVay is everything he was ever cracked up to be. I still think he could be a good coach. But is he everything he was made out to be last year? Well, how he handles this season is in very much a large part going to help determine that.
Right. If Todd Gurley were still out there healthy, I'm not sure if we're having this conversation because it's tough to stop. But I agree with what you guys are both saying about being able to adjust. Mm. By the way, could you... Man, I feel like I'm going to put him on the spot here.
All right, I'm in.
Go for it.
Tom,
come on,
do
Tom.
It.
Do it. Could you explain
what
the wing tee offense is?
The wing tee?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I can't do it now.
Wait for the break. I mean, he's got to bring it down.
Of course I can explain the wing tee. We don't have enough time left in the segment for me to go through all of
right,
the important
things. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
The wing tee.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Because he keeps comparing what the Ravens do to the wing tee.
Doesn't the wing tee have to do with where, like, don't you have, like, H-backs behind the tight ends or something? Isn't that part of it?
Yeah. Well, you got three.
I mean,
You got three running backs in the backfield.
Right.
Yep. And misdirection across the board.
There's a lot of it, Tom.
There's a lot of it. I mean,
don't you know?
All those things.
Right. All of that.
Yeah.
Three. So there's a running back directly behind the quarterback?
Yes.
Wouldn't that just kind of confuse everybody?
No, I used to do that all the time. What do you mean a running back right behind the quarterback? You always used to have that in
the I formation.
The I formation?
I formation.
Yes.
Yeah, well, now they do it out of the pistol formation in the Ravens.
Right.
And Mark Ingram being directly behind Lamar Jackson, the shotgun. So it's a version of that, which is unique. It creates a defense to have to be extremely
disciplined. Can I ask you guys a question about formations? And Jake, it's probably more for you than anybody else. But can we stop pretending that, especially Rashad Penny, but that these running backs that are on this team right now are as good out of the shotgun formation as they are not out of that formation?
Why do they do that?
Marshawn was as good as any running back I've seen at the pro level at the read option and taking the ball in that format with a quick handoff out of the shotgun. Rashad Penny is not. Give him the ball out of an actual handoff where he's running downhill or a toss sweep.
Rashad's got to get on the field first.
Fair point.
These last couple
but I think the same is true with Chris Carson. Not that he's bad out of the read option, but isn't he significantly better with a real handoff out of like a quarterback under center or a toss to the either off tackle or as a sweep?
The last couple weeks, I will say that they have done more in diversifying their run game out of the shotgun. So it hasn't just been that zone read scheme that you're talking about. They've done quick traps. They've done different types of plays, which is vital for them to be successful out of that. When they continue to just run zone read, the first 3 weeks, it was
awful.
It wasn't
working. And it's not just that. I honestly think that both Carson and especially Penny, that's not their strength.
They're more comfortable, I would agree, with them being under center. I think if you ask them in the traditional sense, they are more comfortable.
Well, as it turns out, Russ is pretty good in play action from under center also.
It's true.
All right.
Thanks, Mikey.
I've made my point. Have a great weekend,
Mike.
Guys.
We'll
you too.
By the way, if they lose on Monday, it was the biggest loss of the year.
Total disaster.
Total mess.
Seahawks are out of it.
All right. Have a good weekend.
All right. We'll get back into this must-win nonsense next. 710 ESPN Seattle.
You're listening to Tom, Jake, and Stacy.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming live on the 710 Sports app and at 710sports.com.
Now, here are your hosts, Tom Wassel, Jake Heaps, and Stacy Rost.
Is Sunday's game a must win?
You sound spooky. Spooky.
Yeah, because of this music, and it's also Halloween season.
Yep.
I was putting together, family night last night, we were carving pumpkins and everything.
A jack-o'-lantern.
It was awesome. That's one of my favorite times.
Tom, you're going to
starting to carving pumpkins, watching Halloween movies.
This is the most wholesome story ever told on 710.
Great.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah,
wholesome story until it does not become wholesome, because then what ended up happening is Jackson and his cousin wanted Transformer pumpkins. Okay, so they wanted like... these, of course, it couldn't just be like a simple design. It had to be this complicated design. And what ended up happening was that it turned into like a competition between me and my sister of who could put out the best pumpkin. And I lost horribly. Turns out that I'm not a great artist.
You're about to lose again, partner. Coming up in about 12 minutes here. We're going to be doing our weekly game show. Curtis, do you have the little thing?
Oh, it's in my folder.
Okay. We're going to be doing our weekly game show. So far we've done Rams, and we've done Browns. And this week we're doing
Ravens.
And we got the crow at the end
this morning.
Oh, we got one more time. Go ahead.
Ravens.
We have the harmony one, but Curtis nixed that one.
What? Yeah. No, I didn't nix that.
Can we
all
play the harmony one? This is the alternative title that Jake's already laughing.
Can you see what that?
All right.
Can you see why that one got nixed?
Delete that.
Okay. No! Don't you dare, Curtis.
No, I won't.
Curtis.
I tried to go full Michael McDonald on that one.
Yeah, no, I heard it. Curtis, you weren't the problem on that one.
Oh. Whoa! You know what? We are going to play Ravens with that kind of attitude.
Oh, my.
Wow.
You know what? I was shocked when Saul came in here that I actually had a backer on the this game doesn't matter thing.
That doesn't surprise me. You guys kind of stick together.
Yeah. No, we don't. I had no idea that was his take.
You guys kind of stick together.
We don't stick
it
together.
It doesn't surprise me.
I barely talk to the guy.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't even like him.
Now we're just flat out lying. All right.
Look, if they lose, actually, you know what? If they have a close loss up here, if it's a situation where, you know, one team or the other has the ball, a couple minutes to go, and they do or don't score, and it comes down to 2 or 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
All right, that's one thing. If the Ravens come up here and just spank them, and the defense gets exposed, mm-hmm. and Clowney and Bobby and KJ, they can't catch Lamar all day, and they're all this trickery, Ingram's going over here, and Lamar's over here, and it's 30-10?
Yeah, that's...
That'll come in on Monday, and I'll hit the panic button with you.
Right.
That's a huge issue.
I could agree with you.
There's not a. Yeah. Here's the difference. There's no panic button for me in terms of where the season ultimately can go. I just see that this is going to be a year with the 49ers, the way that they've started the season. They have played great football. They have had an elite defense up to this point. And this is a team that the way that they're built, they're going to win a lot of football games. And the Seahawks obviously are continuing to get better and better with every single game. They've got an MVP quarterback right now playing high-level football. Chris Carson's running the ball great. So there's no panic in terms of what this team can be. But when you want the easiest path possible in the playoffs and trying to win the division, there's a level of you've got to keep up with the 49ers. You have to keep it in striking distance for yourself to win the division. And that's why I believe that this is a must-win, so that the Seahawks can keep it in striking distance in comparison to the 49ers when it comes down to the second half of the season. Does that make more sense?
It does, but let me tell you, so they've already had their bye, right? They
the
were
Niners
one of the first
have,
teams
yes.
to have a bye.
Correct.
And the Seahawks have a bye when? Week, like, is it like 10? Week 8, 9, 10, right around there?
Somewhere in there, yes.
Okay, so how do you know that because of that, the 49ers aren't going to have some sort of critical injury? I'm not saying to Garoppolo necessarily, but to somebody, right?
I'm basing off what
Think
I'm seeing
this.
Now.
The Bosa kids get hurt every year.
The Bosa kids,
right? They get hurt. Joey Bosa's always hurt. He can never play. And so in Nick Bosa's, he has an injury history through college too, doesn't he?
True. He was injured before the season started.
All right, so maybe he'll get hurt again, and everything will be fine.
There's a possibility. But you're playing on a lot of ifs here, Tom.
What?
That's one if.
That's
the part where I look at this team now, the way the 49ers are playing right now, and I look at them in the second half of the schedule. There are 6 legitimate games that are going to be tough games for them that they have to answer. So there
is
the 49ers, yes. And it does get a little bit easier for the Seahawks down the stretch. And we all know that Pete Carroll and this group play their best ball towards the end of the season.
Yes, they do.
So I have incredible confidence in this team.
Dude, they're going to fly past the 49ers. Oh, don't even worry
about
it.
Easy.
Don't even worry about it.
But that's where a 5-1 start, a 6-1 start, you keep everything in striking distance, you now have a great opportunity to surpass the Niners in the division. But if you lose games like this and you don't keep it in striking distance, the 49ers, just the way they started alone, give themselves a great chance to win the division.
See, I agree with you in theory, Tom, that this is not a must-win game.
In theory, it's good enough.
Yeah, well... And you, me, and Jake were kind of chatting about it before, and Jake asked, and I said, no, it's not a must win. But that being said, the idea that just because it's an AFC North opponent, I'm not getting back to it, but I do think at the end of the day, a win itself is what's going to help keep you ahead. So, again, like, I tend to see the 49ers as, I think, more of a threat.
Well, you could have, I guess so, but you could have a tiebreaker situation. There are three kinds of wins.
Exactly.
There's the out of conference, in conference, in division. And if you start
like
getting
opponents.
Right. Common opponents, etc. It goes on and on and on. If you get into that situation, the in conference, in division wins do just become more important. I have a comment to make about tea. I'm drinking tea. I've been drinking tea all week.
Okay.
I'll make it later.
We're gonna hold off on it.
I think tea is bunk.
What?
I think the...
You mean you don't like tea?
No, I like tea, but I don't think, like, all the stuff they advertise, like, this kind of tea is good for this, and this kind of tea is good. No, it isn't.
Well, it's not like a horoscope. I mean, I think in theory, green tea is good for you.
It doesn't do anything, though.
Yes, it does, Tom.
Chamomile tea, or is it chamomile? What is it?
I think it's chamomile.
Chamomile. It's supposed to relax you. I'm not relaxed.
Tom, have you ever been relaxed?
Yeah, that's a great question.
But that's what I'm saying. It's supposed to relax you, and it doesn't. All right, our game show's next. Let's go. Get out of here.